Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number... Da, da, da.
Happy birthday to us.
52 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford, who is still a year on, sitting here chatting with me. How are you doing?
I'm a year older. It's been good. It's been good. It's great to get to number 52.
We made it.
Yeah, and number one seems so long ago now.
I know, yeah. Well, I was going to listen back to number one before we did this one, but... Didn't have time.
Didn't get time.
No, just so busy. But we've come a fair old way, I think.
Yeah.
I'll put the link into the show notes, actually, because episode one, I think actually we recorded it just straight into the laptop, into the microphone on the laptop.
No, it
sounds like the audio quality is poor. It's slightly better now, not much.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. If I think about those early times when we were kicking around the idea and we did quite a few runs before we actually dared to put one up on air.
Yeah.
And how kind of nervous it all was. And yet how natural it feels now. It feels quite relaxed and easy.
It does. I love it. I love it, man. To be honest, I think the cool thing about the show is I think I would do it even if we didn't have any listeners.
Yeah. We get together once a week, have a good chat about things, and then we can play it back to ourselves in the car.
Yeah.
So do you listen to it back?
I edit the show, so I listen to it in the evening.
But do you ever listen to it afterwards?
No. Except for if my wife's listening to it. Like, sometimes she listens to it on her phone when she's getting ready in the morning.
Yeah.
Or if she's trying to...
Yeah, no, that's what happens, is on a Thursday morning, I always take Rhea a cup of coffee when she's kind of doing her hair and stuff. And she's always got it on. I think, oh, yeah, I need to listen to that. So when I get in the car to go somewhere, I stick it on and listen to it. And it's odd because it doesn't sound like you and I. It sounds like a couple of guys talking. And there's times when I think, that's interesting. I think, rubbish, what do you mean?
I listen. Wish I'd said that's the big thing with me, really. I think I need to prepare better for the show.
Do you think?
Maybe the freestyling is what makes it.
Yeah. Two real people talking about real things.
We are real people.
Yeah, I mean, one of the objectives we started out with was the idea that the things that we talked about would be of help to other people. That was the idea.
Yeah, that's right.
And the overwhelming feedback in that is that that's the case.
Yep.
And what people have said to me predominantly is, you make me think. And if we're doing that, then that's good enough for me. If the things that we talk about or the way that we approach things gets people to question where they're at, because that's what self-development's about. It's about examining and looking.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this week, about growing old gracefully. And I don't want to give it away, but continuous learning is a big thing, isn't it?
It's got to be.
We've mentioned it lots. I mean, are there any episodes that have stood out for you, Sean, that you look back on and think that was a good one?
Loads. I couldn't actually pick one out, but I mean, there's loads of them.
I think we did, for some reason, I always think back to one about... The guru, we did a guru episode about who your teachers are.
Yeah.
I recall that one as a good one.
Yeah.
The meditation special one, that was cool when we interviewed the guy from Dr. David Cox from Headspace, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I think that's probably the most popular one we've had, actually.
That was a good day because we were down in London.
Yeah, we recorded like four or five episodes, didn't we?
Yeah, that was cool.
Sat in that room.
Yeah. Yeah, next to the MI5 building.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's good.
But it's been a cool year, isn't it, man? So what have you learned from doing this? What's been your key lessons?
I think that certainly being able to reach out across the world has been good. From doing this programme, I've now developed contacts and I do FaceTime and Skype work all over the world. And I was in New York. In fact, I should be in New York later today, as well as last week. I was in Austria last night.
Yeah.
And just being all over the world, working with people, talking to people, it's been amazing having people email in and having conversations going. I've really enjoyed it.
We've got a good core group of like hardcore listeners, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I love getting emails from that. I want to thank you. Thanks specifically. We've had emails recently from Rachel, from Maxine,
Chris,
who got us really thinking up.
Chris, that was a big one, Chris. We're going to have to work on that one.
I know.
Yeah,
I think we should get Chris on the show, actually. I think.
He's local too, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he's not too far away.
Yeah.
Accept the challenge if you wish, Chris. Yeah, drop us a line. But no, thank you to all of our listeners. In fact, we recently passed the 100,000 download mark.
Yep.
Which. Which for Graham Norton might not be a big deal, but for us, the fact that we've reached 200,000 ears, assuming everyone can hear in both sides.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Just shows the power of the internet.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that it's done for me is it's different projects that I'm working on that will be out during our next year's broadcast.
Yeah, where will we be a year from now?
Yeah, it's taken me into doing lots of other things. Which are to do with recording, both visual and audio, which are to do with therapy and development and stuff, which will be coming out later on.
When we celebrate episode... Well, do you think we'll celebrate episode, assuming we get there, 104? Because that'd be 2 years, wouldn't it? But
yeah.
We're more likely to celebrate the 100th episode, I think, aren't we?
Yeah.
But,
I don't know, 104 would be pretty meaningful.
But what's coming up a year... I don't know where we'll be a year from now. I think we need to do a few more interviews.
Yep.
Partly because they help... They're a good kick for the downloads.
But one of the other requests that I've had from people is that is to do a sister podcast that would be a therapy podcast that would go into more depth of the kind of therapeutic issues, which is something that I'm looking at and I'm playing games with.
Mm.
But see how that goes.
Yeah, I'd like to do other, if I had time, I'd do load of podcasts. I just do podcasts about Formula One and stuff and all sorts. Yeah.
You've been the cars.
So, but, you know, maybe you want more of the same. Maybe you want more interviews from us with interesting people. Email us at podcasts@livingthepresent.co.uk or get in touch via Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing, because we're really keen to hear your feedback and what you want. We might ignore it completely, but we might take it on board and give you huge credit and share things. I also want to thank you. Thank goodpodcasts.com.
Yeah.
The chap or the chapette that runs that.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't miss. It's just it's a him. It's Mr. GP.
Yeah.
He's retweets our stuff every week.
Yeah. And great. Thank you for that. That's really nice.
Yeah. No, we appreciate it, man. So it's it's beautiful. It brings a tear to my eye.
Yep.
Have you had a good week though, Sean? What have you been up to, man? You've been to Cornwall, have you?
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely part of the world, and it's the kind of English Riviera. It's the place to go.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Cornwall has been granted special European status as an identity.
There's a faction in Cornwall that want separation and like.
Yeah, there is the Cornish Parliament. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It goes on. But it is seen by the Cornish from the River Tamar downwards as being a separate country. And that historically goes back to when the Angles and the Romans pushed in from the south and all the Celts were pushed into Wales, into Cornwall, into Scotland.
It fell off the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Land's End. Yeah.
But that whole area, if you look down in a line, you've got Wales and Ireland, you've got Cornwall and then Brittany going down to the Basque area.
Yeah, it goes
and
all the way.
All the same, Celtic,
isn't it?
Yeah. And the weird thing is that in Brittany, they all speak Welsh. It's the same language. If you can speak Welsh, then you can be understood in Brittany or in Breton. That's it, yeah. And same the other way around.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's the same kind of race of people. And now they do have European kind of recognition of that, which is cool. That's good.
Yeah. I've been to Cornwall just the once, and it was only a quite short little trip, actually. Into the Eden Project.
Yeah, amazing place.
But I couldn't believe how far away up the Cornwall was, how long it took. We drove there.
And so it's a 7 hour.
It's like 400 miles.
Yeah,
it's 7 hours driving.
British roads.
Got past like Bristol way. And then it's still another like 2-3 hours.
Bristol is halfway really.
Yeah. Wow.
From here.
Even little Britain is quite a big... it just makes you realise how big the world is, eh?
Yeah, but when you're in places like the States, you can just drive all day.
Mm.
Yeah, well, France is like that too.
Yeah.
Big countries.
Yep.
Yeah. Big planes, flat planes. Amazing.
And I've been busy writing a best man speech. Finally, my time has come and I am someone's best man.
Yeah.
So it's been fun writing the speech, actually, because you got to put the time in for something like that, haven't you?
And,
be prepared.
Yeah, and you have to be sensitive, don't you? It's it depends on your audience because the desire to be outrageous is always.
I know. It's like, should I say that? Should I not? I've still got to get final approval from the boss. But it's been good fun writing that. Hopefully, I enjoy.
So, who's the boss? You have to go.
Who's this? This is the wife. It's Bethan.
The big boss.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good fun. But let's go into our show for the week. We're talking about growing old gracefully.
Yeah.
Quick mention, Sean will be doing a blog post on this, which will be on the website right now. Go to livingthepresent.co.uk to read that if you wish. If you're more into your reading than you're listening, or you haven't got enough time to listen to a 45-minute show. But growing old gracefully, Sean, do you think you're pretty good at it?
No, I don't see why you should be. I kind of reject the statement, really. Why should you grow old gracefully? Why anything? Because I guess the thing that it does...
Why anything, yeah.
Is it segregates out this kind of section of life and says... that it's a bit like Cornwall, it segregates it out from the whole, doesn't it? It's like... the thing I'm fascinated by, and the thing that I think we need to kick around here, is that if you look at what people are doing in their 20s, 30s and 40s, and they are chasing the idea of remaining young, and either that's, you know, cosmetically Botox and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's two things that happen in that for me, especially when I'm working with clients, is that one is that they are trying to avoid who they are. So they're trying to avoid the age thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also suggests that aging is wrong or bad, you know, therefore it should be avoided. And the problem with being alive is we're all going to get there. So if in your 30s you're Botoxing and cosmeticing, surgering or whatever to try and keep yourself looking young, you're really stuffed by the time you get into this old age bit because you've segregated it out as a bad thing and now you're there.
Yep.
You've got to face the fact that you are this thing, as opposed to the people that are just comfortable with who they are and just enjoy their wrinkles or whatever and let the bags form under their eyes and don't need to play this game of looking anything other than they are.
I've been maybe guilty of that lately. I've been looking in the mirror. I'm 32, so I'm old or young, depending on how old you are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of enjoying getting old, but I'm starting to see a few wrinkles and I'm thinking the my biggest issue and as deep as it's got for me is whether I should use moisturiser or not. I'm a soap and water kind of guy, that's all I use really. Spray on a bit of antiperspirant and away I go. I'm starting to think, should I use moisturiser? Do you moisturise, Sean?
I do when the boss tells me to. What happens is I you know, wash, shave, get on with life, and then she says to me, your skin's dry, put some skin moisture, so I go and wax someone.
What brand do you use?
Are we allowed to say that on air? Our sponsors, Nivea. Because I've got a sensitive skin, I react to lanolin, which is in some of those things. So
is that sheep's wool?
Can't go anywhere near sheep, kills me. So as long as it's lanolin free, that's okay with me. In the East, you just use olive oil. Olive oil with a bit of salt in as an exfoliant.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I've got some of that downstairs.
Yeah, dead cheap.
You've got salt?
Yeah, dead cheap. The salt.
Extra virgin.
Yeah.
So that's not cheap.
So salt takes off the dead cells. Oil feeds your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what do you need? I mean, you were talking about meeting the guy in the tailor's. That's funny, yeah. Go on.
Well, every now and again, man, you come across people who just defy belief with their age, you know. I was in the tailors. I'm getting a suit made for the wedding, which is a cool process actually, and it's all right. I'm watching it get chopped up and making sure it fits just right because I'm a funny kind of shape in that I'm short and I'm quite slender, so I can't really buy suits off the peg that fit right or fit how I want them to. Yep. Or they make me look smaller than I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I know this guy anyway, Ronnie, who makes the odd little thing for me and takes me shirts in. But I was sitting in the tailor waiting for my turn, and this guy sitting in the chair next to me just struck up a conversation, as I like to do. I know you do too. And he ended up saying I've been retired 10 years. And I was like, whoa, hang on a sec. He didn't look that old, so I said to him, okay, go on, make me feel sick, how old are you, knowing that he was going to say something crazy. And he said, I'm 71.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know you look young for your age, but you look way younger than you. I would have guessed, I mean, to be honest, I probably would have said 60s just because I knew he was older than he looked, to try and get close. But if you just saw him walking down the street and you had to give a number, you probably would have said 50, 55.
Yeah.
But the way he spoke as well, he seemed quite young as well. The way he dressed as, too. But it was just kind of his attitude. He's a black guy, which, I don't know, there's something genetically in the makeup there. They tend to...
You get it, do you?
They don't age,
yeah. Yeah. The one that always makes me laugh is the guy that played Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch.
Uh-huh.
And he was being interviewed, I think it was Oprah, and he was in his 70s. Looking amazing. And she said to him, you know, how comes your skin so good and you look so young? And he said, when you're black, you don't crack. and you get that a lot, don't you? When you get that, it seems to be more of a kind of West Indian or an American kind of Afro-Caribbean skin rather than African skin. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the mixtures are in that. But you get that beautiful skin.
Yeah.
And it does, it lasts a long time.
And he was talking about his mum, actually. And I was like, whoa, all right, how old's your mum? And she was 99 last week.
Yeah, cool.
But still going super strong, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's going to keel over at some point, but she's going to keel over with a smile on her face. And
yeah, but I've said it before. In Britain, currently 1 in 4 people are going to live to over 100, people that are alive now. Yeah, and this idea of what's old is old is really relative. My adopted granny in her 90s, when she was in a Walden flat things, there's a lady on the other side of the corridor who, she was 102, I think. She was over 100, but she used to refer to granny as that girl on the other side. So relatively, she saw her as being younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool. Is it? It's like age is always going to be a number, but that's not the point. It's an attitude. So for me, I meet 20-year-old women, and I'm sort of old women, 20 years old, and I meet 65-year-old young women.
Mm.
Yeah, because their mind's different.
Yeah, you know, every now and again when I'm out and about, which is less so now because I tend not to go out socially as much as I did. I'm old, but I'll bump into people I went to school with. And it's always interesting, like, kind of judging yourself against these people in terms of how they look and how they're aging, you know. And sometimes you'll bump into people that you're the same age as you and you went to school with, and you think, blimey heck, man, you look in way, look deep into your 40s. And not just the way they look, but sometimes the way they're acting and the way
Attitudes, completely. If you think about the guy you met in the tailors, you know, his attitudes were young. Therefore, he was young. Young of mind, young of body.
Yeah.
Young of spirit.
That's it. Yeah. Just having a good old chat with him.
Yeah. And the trick in that, for me, is lifelong learning. As long as you keep learning new things, then your brain creates new brain cells. You have a young brain. If you stop learning, your brain starts producing brain cells. You're in decline.
Yes.
Yeah. There's that. There's the fact that you have to keep moving. You got to keep mobile. Yeah, if you become sedentary too much, not only do your joints start to stiffen up, but your spine goes. And once your spine goes, you're stuffed.
Yeah, I'm conscious of that. Obviously, I'm one of these guys who works on a computer and sits down a lot. I'm worried. I don't worry about it, but I...
But it's real. If you don't attend to it now, later on, you got the problems. You know, you need to be on the stand-up desk. Routine.
Well, yeah, luckily I'm working a couple of days. I think I've mentioned this before. Yeah. A couple of days a week in an office where the height of the desk is perfect for standing up and working.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get in the habit of that.
Yeah. And it is odd to start off with, but once you get your head around, it's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
I get some funny looks from the guys I'm working with.
And if you're listening to this, you know, when did you last get off your butt and move about? You know, whether that's kind of like Zumba, going to the gym, walking around the block, you know, what are you doing?
I know. We have a listener who we've said before, listen to this while they're swimming.
Yeah, amazing.
In their morning swim, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that idea about having a morning swim.
Yes.
You know, but the current wisdom on keeping your body working is that you need to make your heart beat. That means you need to take it up to its max and let it come up and down a few times. Yeah, but for a maximum or for a minimum of 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to say 20 minutes 3 times a week. Well, forget that. It's like 30 minutes. Every day you need to do something that gets your system working.
Yep.
Yeah? And who does that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I think you're hot. Yeah, there's Conrad, our good pal, rockmountain.co.uk, he showed me a link. I'd actually seen it somewhere before, but it's there's one of those clever TED Talks that's animated. About
half an
hour every day is all you need of moderate exercise. He's not talking about absolutely battering it on a treadmill. It's just moderate exercise.
Get your heart going.
Yeah.
I mean, tonight it's Wednesday because we record this Wednesday, goes out Thursday. Wednesday night, Ria and I go to Conrad's Hour of Power class.
Yep.
Which is an hour where you push it along. It's you run like 4K on the spot and you do 250 squats. I think it's like there's a whole load of stuff that you're doing in that hour.
Yeah.
And you really work out, but afterwards you feel amazing. Mm. You feel really good.
Do you think expect to do something like that in the evening or in the morning? This is a bit off topic.
My running thing. I'm aware now that if I go running at 5 a.m, which is my standard. It's kind of easy. When I go later in the day, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's to do with the way that your body's working and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with with the summer being here, it's the heat. You know, 5 a.m. is still fairly cool. But if I go running at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's too hot.
But it was a beautiful morning this morning to go for a run, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, and when it's too hot, I need someone to be running behind throwing buckets of water over me to cool me down. Yeah.
Yeah, no, my brother-in-law goes to the gym before work every a few days a week. And that, it takes an effort, but I think it's worth it. It's a great way to start the day. But back to the topic, if we just...
I want to raise an issue.
Please do.
And the issue is...
I was hoping
is,
you'd say something like that.
Is that I think that we need to ban retirement.
Uh-huh.
I think that the retirement is the worst concept that you can ever get.
Yeah.
For anybody, because
there's certain political people that would love that. Yeah, scrapping the retirement age and therefore all the dosh that gets needed chuck at people. But often, I'm joking because some people rely on that quite seriously.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not.
But I think that even if you do stop working, you have to go and do something.
Ban the concept of retirement.
Yeah, the concept of retirement is a killer. I see so many people. They get to retirement and then just plunge down into depressive spaces. Yeah, you'll get some people that have a wowser of a time, but what's happened is they've transferred from doing this work stuff during the day to doing all other kinds of stuff during the day. Like I came across a lady recently who has stopped working to look after 5 grandchildren so that all her kids can go and get on with their work, and she's become the carer, and she's having a fabulous time.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, so she's 65 and just taking on 5 kids every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she loves it. It's great, yeah? And you can see she's alive and she's got the sparkle in her eye, having a fabulous time.
There's a story, I can't quote the source, and I'll try and remember for the show notes and put it in the link on the website, about how... Lincoln community, either end in terms of young and old, and there was, it was in America somewhere, but there was an old person's centre, people shuffling around, kind of just waiting for the end, and across the road was a nursery, or some kind of play school, kindergarten, and someone in the kindergarten or the play school had this genius idea of linking the two, and basically getting the old people in to interact with the young kids, and... Like the effect for both sides was just incredible in terms of it gave the people across the road, the old guys, a reason to live again.
Yep.
And it gave the young people a connection with the older generation, which obviously breeds like this respect and all that kind of stuff, which is real.
Yeah.
Because there's a side of life which people say, you know, it's not like it used to be in terms of young people not respecting their elders or seeing them as a worthwhile. Yeah.
But the thing that you're describing in that already exists is called the extended family.
Yeah.
And that's what we've lost.
Mm.
And I think that in terms of ageing, that is really bad because in an extended family, the older people have this function, which is knowledge and understanding, but they also have time and they have tolerance that younger people don't have because they haven't got time for tolerance. And they perform an amazing role in an extended family. But in a nuclear family where people are just living on their own, either one parent with some kids or two parents with some kids and no family support, you miss out on all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that in time gone by, the older people stayed younger because they were engaged in the family.
Yep.
And that's what's happening in what you're describing, which is fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've talked about it in the past too. Like, there's a sense of guilt for me slightly in that we were over thinking that we over rely on the grandparents for Will's grandparents, my parents. But I'm looking at it the wrong way, really, aren't I? Because it's a joy for those guys, man. They love it because Will's the first grandchild anyway.
Yeah.
But that's their role. Once you retire, man, you get stuck back in with the next generation.
And you only need to spend a bit of time with Will to realise what a cool guy he is. I mean, he's well adjusted socially because of all the interactions he has, and they're positive ones.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing, you know. And their input for him is really, really important.
Massively.
Did you get a lot of input from your grandparents?
Yeah. Yeah, big time. Especially my grandma. Actually, we were talking about before we came on, weren't we? Good old Beryl, she's a shining example.
As someone who's still supple, young, bright, on the ball, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, 84, 85 my grandma is, and I think she's had to ease off a bit recently because of health issues, stuff starting to go wrong, but she's had a keep fit class basically since she was about 60-odd. And she still takes charge of the over 70s doing keep fit.
Wow.
And she can't get as involved as she used to, but she's still standing at the front dishing out the instructions like a drill sergeant.
There's a guy where we live who you see running every day, who's like one of the wife's friend's fathers, and he's in his late 70s, and you see him out running every day, summer and winter.
Mm.
And is out doing it, and you can see that he's bright, he's there, he's got it.
Yeah. I just saw a video last night about some 80-year-old guy who keen cyclist.
Yeah.
And he's still just loves tinkering with his bikes and going out for a ride.
Yeah.
I think he's a French guy. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Cool little 5-6 minute video which will teach you a lot.
Yeah. So I think that the question for all of us, everyone that's listening, you and me too, is at what point do you get old? Mm. What is age? You know, I think that the concept for me about I haven't decided what I'm going to do when I grow up kind of idea is still with me. There's still things I want to do. I'm starting another master's. I'm doing the first bit of it. I've signed up to do part of it's a mindfulness cognitive behavioural program. Which leads on to a master's.
Uh-huh.
And I might do another PhD, you know. And it's like,
easy.
I refuse to get into the concept of age.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess, that idea of when you're at a dinner party and you say to somebody, and what do you do?
Uh-huh.
And as soon as they say what they do, we subconsciously or consciously give it a status. You know, it's the same as us, lower than us, higher than us, that kind of stuff. And we value people by what they do. And one of the dangers is when we say to people, how old are you? And then we start to value people by their age. Either we see them as too young, therefore they must be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And can you remember being young and people treating you like you were stupid, like you didn't know anything, and being kind of outraged by that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and the same at the other end. As people get older, they have the same experience.
Yeah, you know, get out of the way, old man.
Yeah,
coming through.
Yeah, all that kind of idea.
Yeah,
yeah. Whereas I like the idea of things like the Kung Fu series that was on TV, where you've got the old guru who's actually old and blind, but actually can still give the young lad a whopping. A bit like Yoda.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that kind of idea that age is a number. Forget the number. The age is what's going on in your head.
Mm. Yeah? What about this obsession with looks, though, in terms of, like, glossy magazines that people have been photoshopped to within each of their life? But
I think that lots of things like that are driven by pharmaceuticals and cosmetics.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a million adverts on the telly about how your skin needs to be plumped up, and if you have Wongo Bongo juice on your face, it's going to make a huge difference. Actually, if you mix up things like a bit of yogurt, a bit of olive oil, and just a few basic herbs, easily to find, because that's what you get in countries where they don't have all these cosmetics, and you whack that on your chops, it has as good an effect, if not better than the chemical cosmetics that you're sticking on your face.
Mm.
You know, But why? Why are we doing this? Okay, it's good to keep your skin moist. And the reason you need a moisturiser if you use it is because the soaps that you use take the moisture out of your skin. You know, so you're putting back what you're taking out.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But why get to that point where looking at the wrinkles is a bad thing that I need to get rid of, as opposed to these are lines of character, they're lines of my life, they're who I am, you know, they're good things. Yeah, every face tells a story.
Yep.
Well, when your face is Botox to the point where you've got paralysis, you know, it doesn't tell any story at all. You're just a blank mask.
Yeah.
And that looks really weird, it's weird to me.
And it kind of goes against, because it's obviously in the movie industry, I'm kind of movie obsessed. I know certainly on the female side of things, ladies struggle getting roles after a certain age, you know, 35, 40. It's not so much an issue for men, guys like Clooney and all that, they'll be going until they're 70, 80 and still, yeah, like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But for the women, it's an issue. But yeah, it's interesting because you see women having surgery, trying to look young. Like Nicole Kidman's a good example, maybe.
Yeah.
She's obviously doing things to kind of retain these good looks.
Yeah.
But she's, the amount of emotion she can show on her face is diminishing. But she's an actress.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be showing emotion.
Yeah.
So she's done for.
Yeah.
But there are relatively few older ladies in the movie biz that can still cut it. I cut this bit out, but what's her name? Dame Judi Dench.
Yep.
She's probably a shining light, isn't she?
She's amazing.
She's there, wrinkles and all, man. But yeah, she's still kicking out these amazing
performances. What an incredible actress.
Yeah.
Amazing. And she is just herself, isn't she?
Yeah.
I assume. The thing for me about people of an age, and I have loads of examples, and if this was a video, I'd get people to come along here and we could actually look at them in video. But I know a lovely lady who'll be 75 this year, and if you saw her, you'd think she was 50. You know, and she's bright and together, she's supple, she still does dance and Pilates and all that kind of stuff. Amazing woman.
Yep.
Amazing woman. You'd never, ever think that she is the age that she is.
Yeah.
Yeah? Just like your guy and the tailors.
Mm.
Actually, you get them together. They might.
I know. Yes. I didn't even get the guy's name. I didn't ask his phone number, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that people tell me is that the problem that they have is the birthdays that have noughts on the end.
Yeah.
When you go from 29 to 30 or 39 to 40, it's that kind of line. But what's that about? You know, it's just a line that we draw in the sand. It doesn't exist.
Mm.
The line's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were talking before about blue zones and the guy that was discovered in Africa that they reckon is about 160. And as far as they can work him out, he's a herdsman. And if they talk to him and his memories of when he was a child, they think it was about 160. But around him are lots of people that live, you know, 120, 130.
Yeah.
And as a blue zone, they're doing things that keep themselves young.
Yeah, if you haven't looked into the concept of blue zones, we've talked about it in the past, but you've got to just Google it and you'll find all this stuff. But it's basically these little pockets, communities in the world that just seem to kick out people that live for hundreds of years. Well over 100. Over 100 without even thinking about it, you know.
But the thing then you have to look at is that there may be a genetic component, okay, but how much of it is about diet?
Yeah.
Yeah, and since I've been doing my detox and my running and all that kind of stuff, I've become a bit of a food fascist in terms of what I'm looking at. Mm. And I don't understand anymore why we as human beings eat dairy products at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them, there is nothing good about a dairy product. People will say things, but it gets calcium in your bones and all that kind of stuff. Well, human beings used to live before we had cows. I mean, we evolved without cows.
Yep.
And there are lots of ways of getting all the vitamins and stuff that you get out of dairy products. But also, you don't get all the negative stuff in dairy products.
You still have Parmesan on your pasta, though?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've gone...
Do you not even do it just for the flavour, just for the joy of it?
No, there's something called nutritional yeast. which is yeast.
Sounds delicious.
It's dried, and you sprinkle that on, and you get that kind of nutty, cheesy flavour.
Yeah.
When you use it, and that's about as near as you get. But I mean, I'd eat a cake that had butter in it. I mean, I'm not being that kind of extreme. If someone offered me a bit of cake. But generally, I'm not interested in dairy products. If you look at the fact that milk was created for calves, not for human beings, and you go from there, we're absolutely bonkers on a health basis, isn't it?
Yep.
Absolutely crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I need to get William off that nightly bottle, eh?
Yeah.
For fat milk.
Yeah. I mean, babies were designed to eat mother's milk, yeah, not cow's milk. Yeah, and it really is such a bad thing.
Mm.
Yeah, and that makes me sound like some kind of loony. Yeah, but just check the research.
We've got a year's worth of podcasts
just to prove I'm a loony.
Prove that.
Yeah. But the amount of countries where they don't have dairy and they don't have the cancers that we have, you know, it's just not there. Yeah, and I think it's really scary. And they're about to produce these industrial milk units and beef units that are going to make it even worse.
Yeah, I was eating some... I cooked a chicken last week, as I do every now and again, and it was a corn-fed chicken. And it was pretty good, but I was thinking, well, why don't I just eat the corn?
You know? Yeah.
And I think this is off topic again, but yeah, the whole meat industry as a whole is just crazy because we're using all these massive resources to feed the cows to then feed us. Why don't we just eat the stuff that we're feeding the cows with?
Yeah, you know? But I don't think that is off topic because we're talking about aging here, and people that eat certain things have healthier bodies. You know, it goes
together. Well, no, yeah, nutrition's a huge side of it, yeah.
Yeah, not just the nutrition side, but things like the fibre and avoiding the sugars and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. You know, like Conrad always talks about sugars like the white devil, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that if you look at what you're putting in your mouth, then at the other end of life, your life's going to be a lot easier.
Yep. But parmesan, man. Pecorino cheese. Oh, my word. Gorgeous.
Yeah, in fact, parmesan is the only thing that I would register as missing, yeah, if I was going to look at it like that.
Yeah.
Because I would always have a lot of parmesan on the pasta.
Of course.
Yeah, but having done my 90 days without it, which is the habit-forming bit, 30 days, 60 days, I don't need it. It's not in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess if I'm in Italy and someone gives me a wonderful slice of pizza that's got mozzarella on it, I'm not going to say, you know, take it away. I'm going to eat it.
You're going to wolf it down.
But generally, I don't want to get involved in dairy anymore.
Yep.
You know, so I'm using nut milk and stuff like that. And you can make pancakes with nut milk. You can do anything you
do. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's cool. We'll have to start wrapping things up now. But there's a blog post on Age UK.
Yep.
Which is obviously quite relevant to what we've talked about. We should have asked them in to have a chat. Maybe we still can.
Yep.
But psychologist and palliative care expert Marie de Hennezel believes we can learn how to age gracefully. Great blog post. And there's some bullet point advice from her, which I'll just summarise. We can go through. Number one, being alert to new experiences. Okay, we talked about that. Let's keep on learning.
Keeps your brain young.
Your brain young. Retaining the capacity for joy and wonder. That's quite a cool one, and it's tricky actually, because I look at Will and how amazed by everything he is, and I'm really envious of that.
Yeah,
because as much as I try and force it, I can't, you know, I can't look at like a tree that's really tall and think, like, just go off my head with excitement.
But maybe it's only when you're out there trying new things and doing new things that you still find those things.
Yeah.
You know, if it is hanging off a mountain or whatever it is, that you get that wow feeling that's there. And Bobby Dylan's song line, "He who is not busy being born is busy dying." If you're not being born into new experience and excitement, you're actually in decline.
Yeah.
You know,
Sure, that's a good one. Being receptive to new people and ideas, cool. Yeah, that's the guy in the tailor. Just get chatting to people. I know you like chatting to randoms and
anybody. I love people. I could stop anybody and have a conversation.
We are quite insular. We've talked about how kind of, you know, on a tube or on the train or our way to work, we kind of don't look anyone in the eye. But if you're in the countryside and you walk past someone, you say hello, mate.
Yeah.
You need to apply that countryside mentality.
I do. Yeah. And no one's punched me out yet, so I'm doing okay. Yeah.
Not expecting too much of others. That's quite an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that when you do that, you start to box people up, but you start to box yourself up as well. So you cut them down. And then once you get into the negative experience of people have let me down, and then you start to wind down negative experience.
Yeah.
And everything we've talked about over this year is about creating this positive sense of being alive, being yourself.
Yep.
And enjoying, yeah.
Well, and then nice summary then is having a positive attitude in order to avoid feeling excluded. And that's the issue, isn't it? You don't want to feel excluded, whether you're a 40-year-old Hollywood movie star that's worried that you're going to stop getting parts, or whether you're an old guy sitting in a tailor that's retired with nothing to do anymore.
I think one of the things that I detect in ageing, and I'm saying ageing rather than age because it does happen at any age, but once people get the ageing head on, is intolerance. People start to lose their tolerance of others and start to become demanding of others.
Fear, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an ageing thing.
Yeah.
And that whole idea about if you have this kind of open, positive attitude to others and you allow other people to be what they are and you don't demand that they become what you want them to be, your life is easier, their life is easier, and you interact easier and you stay younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open up the borders. Let everyone in. Embrace it all. Do not vote UKIP. If we've got any UKIP voters that are listening to the show, I want you to stop listening. You're not allowed to listen anymore.
So what's your biggest beef with UKIP?
It's just that it's the fear of nothing. You know, it's the fear of other people, of the Romanians that are coming across. You know, Romanians are cool people, man. They just want the same things that we do. And we don't have any... I think the whole idea of ownership of land is just ridiculous, man. The fact that because you're born somewhere, you think you're kind of entitled to something. No, man. Like, my brother lives in Italy, works over there. He went over there because it's a cool place to live, and he can give things to that. You know, let people in over here, man, because there's people all over the world that can add a lot to our community.
Yeah.
And we don't own anything anyway. The whole concept of ownership is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So just let it all go.
Yeah.
Stop being so afraid.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
If you think about all the battles and the wars that have been fought over bits of land.
I know.
You know, this is ours, it's yours.
It's crackers, isn't it?
The crazy thing for me is that there's enough food, there's enough water, there's enough love, there's enough happiness, there's enough work, there's enough of everything for everybody on the planet if we share it.
Yep.
Yeah. And that idea that when it becomes mine and you can't have it is when we lose the point about being humans together, for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Age, forget it. Stay as young as you want to be, for as long as you want to be.
And I'm going to summarise with a quote from George Bernard Shaw. You don't stop laughing when you grow old. You grow old when you stop laughing.
I love that.
Don't take stuff too seriously, man. Because
enjoy it. Be happy.
You're going to die soon. Yeah. It's just enjoy the ride, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Don't worry about the wrinkles, Sean.
I haven't got any. I wouldn't worry
about them.
It's just the facelift that did it. it's this paperclip in the back of my head.
Have you got a resource of the week for us?
Yeah, it's a series of books. There is one big one, or it's broken down into little ones. You get it on Amazon, the link's up here. And it's the Wisdom series by Andrew Zuckerman.
Yeah.
And the ones with the DVDs in are amazing because you've got people in there. And there's one guy, I can't remember his name, in one of them, who looks like a really old kind of dog, one of those old kind of wrinkled skin, kind of rubbery. And they're actually talking about things like love and happiness and fulfilment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
From the point of view of someone who's lived a long time and has a lot of experience.
Mm.
And they're really cool.
Yeah, like...
Yeah,
portraits as well done with them, photography and video and
absolutely fabulous pictures and brilliant
wrinkles and all. Like,
yeah,
is Judi Dench one of the people?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Judi Dench. There's loads of people in there, and that you'd recognise. You know, Redford and Clint Eastwood and all kinds of people.
Redford man, awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
cool. I stumbled across a cool, really cool resource website, National Public Radio, I think, .org. It's NPR, it's a US-based site, but it's the best commencement speeches ever, and it's got a listing of 300 commencement speeches by people, amazing guys, from the last 240-odd years.
Wow.
And you can narrow it down by different kind of categories in terms of like inspiration or like work. Some of them are video based, some of them are just audio, and then there's just ones you can just read because in 1792 they didn't have YouTube, sadly.
Sounds good.
Really cool, man. I'll put the link in the show notes. But yeah, the best commencement speeches ever. And yeah, watch one of those a day and you'll be all right, I think.
Yeah.
If you get a sec, if you get a spare minute.
Inspiration.
Do that instead of taking an hour to put your makeup on.
Maybe you can listen to it while you're putting your makeup
on. While you're putting your makeup on, yeah. And just see if it has any impact.
I think that the one thing that would be really interesting as an activity would be, and this isn't just a female statement, if you're used to getting yourself dressed up before you go out in the world, so you present this face, that you're hiding behind the face, how about you go out without the face on and see what response the world gives you? People saying to you, oh my God, you look ill? Or are they just accepting you for who you are?
You look great. Maybe people will just be amazed at how great you look and how that twinkle in your eyes back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. I want to end this one by saying thanks to everybody who's been listening for the last year. It's been a blast. It's been good. I hope you're still here in a year's time.
I know. I hope we are.
Yeah, I will be.
Oh, I mean, you're not that old.
in fact, we won't be here because I have to have the other studio finished.
Ah, so we'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, because there's going to be a little person in this room, isn't there?
There is actually, we're getting kicked out. Blimey. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot going on.
It's going to be a big year.
Blimey. But maybe we'll be on national radio by then. We'll be huge stars.
Yeah, there'll be people doing our makeup then on television.
You won't be able to email us anymore. So, enjoy it while you can.
Fame is here.
I won't be replying to all your tweets.
No, you could employ someone else.
I've got a team of PR experts for that. it's cool. Yeah, thanks to everyone. Thanks to you, Sean, because it's been good fun, hasn't
it? Yeah, thanks to you.
It still is.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
And onward we go.
Yeah.
Visit the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for the show notes, all the links that we've just discussed, plus lots of other bits and bobs. Share the show with a pal if you think it's cool and you think they might enjoy it. And reviewers on iTunes. We've had 137 reviews in our year.
That's cool.
Which is people taking the time to do that.
Yeah.
I think over 100 have been 5-star, which is awesome. But good or bad feedback, let us know. Ideas for future shows, let us know. Though we have got lots of ideas now.
We have, yeah.
People must have sensed our desperation a couple of years ago. They're like, you talk about this.
You could do one on what it's like to do public speaking, because you're going to be doing this speech.
Yeah, right? I know. Well, apparently it's second only to death in terms of people's fear. And there's a Seinfeld joke about saying that, well, it says that, you know, it's second to death. And he says, so if you go to a funeral, you're better off being in the casket than doing the eulogy. But I'll let you know how it goes. The speech should be good fun now.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, go follow us on Twitter and Facebook and reach out, say hello. Don't be shy while you still can, while we're not superstars. And we will see you next week when we'll be talking about something which I haven't even thought about yet.
I'll be having a good time.
It'll be marvellous.
Yeah.
So, see you one and all.
Okay, you take care. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.